In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him, and along with those disciples, they sent some of Herod's men. And with a few flattering words spoken, the trap was sprung. Tell us then what you think, Jesus. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If he says, yes, pay your taxes to Caesar, then the Pharisees will spread the word to Israel that Jesus has sold out to Caesar and Rome. And if Jesus says, nah, don't give Caesar a dime, then Herod's men will go and tell Rome, and Rome will take it from there. Either way he answers, Jesus is sure to be undone. At least that's what the Pharisees thought. Just like the atheists and unbelievers of today. Like gnats buzzing, men assemble their arguments against the Son of the living God. Like spiders weaving their little tiny webs, men set their traps for the maker of the heavens and the earth. Like a man who saws off the very tree branch he's sitting on, they go up against God with the very reason that he himself gives them. What more can be said? The wisdom of man truly is foolishness with God. It is the wisdom of man that says that God could not have created this world in 6 days. It is the wisdom of man that says God could not have parted the Red Sea for Israel and crushed Pharaoh beneath its waves. It is the wisdom of man that scoffs at the water in this font and laughs at God when he says that this baptism now saves. But God is unmoved. His word endures forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And God has clothed the word of his wisdom in foolishness in order that he might shame the wise. So that the wise man of this world, the man who falls head over heels in love with the wisdom of this world, is like a man puckering up for a lipstick-wearing pig. Or worse, because the angel of light that fallen man loves is really just the father of lies dressed in drag. So it's tragic. Tragic and all too familiar to see the wise men of a bygone age despise the word of God and fall in love with their own foolish thoughts. The Pharisees had the word of God, not only written, but the word of God made flesh, standing right before them. And instead of asking him for wisdom, they used their own wisdom. Instead of asking for wisdom from his lips, they use their own lips in false flattery and deceit to set their pathetic little trap. And with a single word, he shows them their foolishness, their hypocrisy, their sin. Show me the money, he says. Show me the coin. And from a Jewish purse comes a pagan coin. So he asked them, whose likeness and inscription is this? Caesar's, they said. and from Jewish lips comes the name of their pagan captor. The very captor that God had given them over to, as punishment for their faithlessness to him and to his word, he gave them exactly what they wanted, to have another ruler and Lord. That's all it took. One coin to show them their hypocrisy. One coin to show them their sin. That's all it ever takes for God to untangle himself from the arguments of man. Is it not true, we who confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, is it not true that with a single question, the Lord could unravel all our self-righteousness, undo every one of our excuses, and expose our sin for all to see? Whose likeness and inscription is this? Caesar's, they say. So Jesus says, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's." With that word, he gives them their answer. But he doesn't stop there. He then says, "And render to God the things that are God's." With that word, he undoes not only the Pharisees and the Herodians, but also you and me. For when they heard it, they marveled and went away. Render unto God what you owe God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have Moses drop his 2 stone tablets right on my head than have the Son of God look me in the eye and say, "Pay all that you owe." It's true, isn't it? No one else really knows what you owe. Not all of it. But you do. He does. You've got a pretty good idea of what stands between you and God right now. And you've got a pretty good idea of what stood between you and him in the past. The man that truly loves God renders to God all the things that belong to God. The man who truly loves God not only renders to God the first fruits of his earthly treasure, he also renders to God the first fruits of his mind and his body, his soul and his heart. The man who truly loves God renders service to God by serving his neighbor, by loving his enemy, by praying for those who trouble him. The man who truly loves God offers God a daily sacrifice, renders to God joyful and perfect obedience in doctrine and life. There is only one man who has ever rendered to God all that is God's, and his name ain't me, and it ain't you. It is the Lord Jesus and him alone. The rest of us, we're all debtors. We've cheated our king, thinking that he'll be happy if we toss him a couple of religious coins like he's some bum in the street. We have committed fraud, letting others invest themselves in us and then using them for our own gain. Lord, forgive us, we are taught to pray. Lord, forgive us our debts. With Caesar, back taxes aren't just forgiven. Not how it works. And neither are these debts of ours simply just forgiven by God. Our debts must be paid. And for this reason, the Word of God became flesh. The King of Heaven took on the form of a bond servant and came in the likeness of men. Our Lord Jesus came to render to God all that is God's, to pay the full price of our debts. He came to render what we have not rendered, to use the currency of His own righteousness to pay what we owe. He renders the perfect love that we have not rendered. He alone loves the Lord our God with all His mind and His body, His heart and His soul. He even renders these to God, being obedient unto death, even the shameful death of the cross. And so too He loves His neighbor as Himself when He lays down His life for you. Love hath no greater than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. No, the Lord Jesus does not merely forgive your debts. He pays them all Himself. He does not offer God gold and silver because you aren't gold and silver. He offers His flesh and His blood because you are flesh and blood. He gives Himself as the offering, not in a golden plate, but on a wooden cross. There is no greater currency, no greater currency in heaven or on earth than the body that Jesus gives and the blood that Jesus sheds as payment to God for our debts. That currency cannot be devalued. That currency cannot be ruined by inflation. There is no greater currency than the body and blood of Jesus, whereby He pays all your debts. For what man on judgment day will stand before the Almighty and try to pay his debt with the trash that's in his bank account? Only those who have Jesus, who possess the treasure that is Jesus by faith, only those are truly rich. And so therefore, even now, when a certain IRS agent from hell comes and tries to audit your life and tell you what you owe, let him know in no uncertain terms that Jesus has already paid your debt, paid it in full. Has not God chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise? It's not the coin marked with Caesar's likeness and inscription that matters. What matters is that God has marked you with the likeness and inscription of His own beloved Son. The waters of baptism, unbelievers count as worthless, and heretics deride. But in this humble baptism, Almighty God marks you with the image of Christ, writes upon you His own inscription, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If that coin belongs to Caesar, then you belong to God. Yes, God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. This morning He makes little Riker Justice Dean richer than all the richest men in the world, wiser than all the wise. He makes this little child into a new creation, not by means of billion years of evolution, but in the instant of the pouring of His water and the speaking of His word. And through these same waters, he brings all his children, just as he brought Israel through the Red Sea, that together we might inherit the true promised land, the new heavens and new earth. Therefore, rejoice, true Israel, for the Lord Jesus has claimed you as his own. What you have not rendered to God, he renders for you. And the debts that you owe have not merely been forgiven, they've been paid. Paid when Jesus rendered to the Father his own priceless blood. Let us pray together as one.